That's good. That's good. You guys take care of those microphone stands for me. I appreciate that.
Let's take our Bibles and turn to John chapter 15, if you will. John chapter 15, verse 1. I've been trying to get through this, and it just seems like I just can't get through this thing here. But I guess the Lord wants us to stretch it out, make sure it sticks in our mind. John chapter 15, verse number 1. Familiar passage. We've been talking about how to have God guide our thoughts, how to have God guide our life, guide our ways, and then we talked about last week how to have Him empower our life to do what He's called us to do. And so we're going to kind of, Lord willing, finish that up this evening. Chapter 15, verse number 1 of John. Did I say Luke? John, okay. All right. John 15, verse number 1. Jesus is speaking here. And He says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. The vine is where the life is. It's where the juices are, where the life-giving sap is, if you will. The husbandman is the one who is overseeing all the process. So we have Jesus as the true vine, and Father is the husband. Verse 2, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, He taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, He purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in me, abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. Look at verse 5. I am the vine, ye are the, say the word with me, branches. That's who we are. We're the branches. We're not the vine. We're not the fruit. We're the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. Now, if without him we can do nothing, then the more of him that we can have, the better. We shouldn't be satisfied with just a little. We want to be, we don't want anything that's going to hinder the flow of the life-giving juice, the life-giving power. So we are the branches, and He is the power. Let's pray, and we're just going to call it how to have God empower your life. I'm going to do a part two here for us tonight. Let's pray. Father, again, we thank You for Your words, and thank You for the truth that we have, and thank You that You have given us the directions, the guidance, the thoughts that we need to live successful lives, that we may bring forth fruit. Lord, I help You to be a blessing to these folks. We do ask for Your Holy Spirit to move. And Lord, I know there's many things that I've done that I can't do, but I know that You've done through me. And Lord, same thing with a lot of folks in this room. And whether it's within the context of the ministry, whether it's context of their life, their family, Lord, we know that You'll guide us and You'll empower us to do what we need to do, to bring forth the fruit that we're supposed to bring forth. So, Lord, I pray that others will see Christ in us. We'll give You the praise for it in Christ's name. Amen. Now, real quick, just to get us back in the mindset here. While a few weeks ago, we said God is the source of all truth. God is the source of all truth. We have to settle that. We're not truth. Someone else is not truth. God is not truth. If it contradicts the Bible, it's not true. God is the source of all truth. That means that the Word of God is not to be compromised or broken, but we should esteem that all His precepts concerning all things to be right. And the Bible says that we should hate every false way. Anything that keeps me from the right, from the truth, we should stay as far away as we can. And so we should esteem, decide, make the decision. God is right. Fact is, there have been many things over the years where they thought the Bible was not true. They thought Nineveh, they said, well, Nineveh can't happen. And then in the middle of the 1800s, guess what? They found Nineveh. They said it was just a fairy tale like Jonah and the whale. But all of a sudden, Nineveh shows up. They said the Hittites never existed. But guess what? They found the Hittites. Over and over and over again, archaeology does not prove God's word false. It proves it true. And the fact is, man just doesn't know. The only reason they think it's not true, doesn't know enough of the word. He doesn't know God's word. I had a professor one time who said that no one ever thought about eternal life until the time of Jesus Christ. Well, that's crazy. Talk to Job. He says, though the worms eat this flesh, yet in my flesh I shall see him, for my Redeemer liveth. And I will stand before him. I mean, he knew there was an everlasting life. He knew all that. It's just amazing. People just, and they talk so emphatically, and this is the way it is, and they've got so many degrees after their name look like a thermometer. And so we fall after them, think that they know what they're talking about. It might not mean a thing. Where do they get their degrees? From somebody else who doesn't know the Word of God. So you could be like David and say, I know more than my teachers. If you get your nose in the book. So God's the source of all truth. Number two, man tends to lie to himself. We tend to lie, and sometimes we lie that we're lying to ourselves. We lie to ourselves, telling ourselves we're not lying to ourselves. And so if God is the source of all truth, and man tends to lie to himself, then we should turn things over to God and wait for instructions. And that's the way we need, and that's where we came to our verse in Proverbs 16:3, commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. Roll it over on him. Give it all to him. Submit, perfect submission. All is at rest. I in my Savior am happy and blessed. That abiding in him, commit it to him. But make sure you understand the word commit. Some people think commit, I'm making a commitment that I'm going to do this and this and this and this. That's not the way we're using the word commit. We're using the word commit as if you commit somebody to the hospital. It's out of our hands. We cannot handle it. We're going to commit it to someone who can do something about it. That's what we're doing. We're committing our life to someone who can take care of us, who can do the work. He said our thoughts will be established. They'll be confirmed and directed. If you don't know what God wants you to do, make sure that you're giving over to him. Stay in the book. Come to church. Spend some time in prayer telling, Lord, I need to know what you want. And by the way, if he doesn't do it right away, wait. Wait. Rest. The answer's coming. The biggest problem is we just got to make sure we don't get in the way of God. We don't get ahead of God. And then we found out that we're supposed to trust the Lord and do good. They kind of go hand in hand. Roll these things, roll our need over to him. Trust the Lord and do good. And it says in Psalm 37:5, it says, commit the way of the Lord. He's established your thoughts, he's given you direction, and so then we need to let him do it. Then once he's given us a direction, give it to him, let him bring it to pass. Now that doesn't mean we sit around and do nothing, but it does mean we let him tell us what to do and let him have the power to do it. You say, well, it has nothing to do with... For instance, when we give to the Lord, let's say it that way. We give to the Lord, we give our tithe, maybe we give some offering. We don't necessarily see the money, the funds come back from the same place we gave it to. We give the Lord and someplace else, the blessing shows up somewhere else. Someplace you least expect it. Comes from another direction. You see, we want to see cause and effect. We want to say, well, if I do this, God will do this. Well, you do this, well, you do what God tells you to do, and God will hold up his end, and usually better than what we thought about. You give it to him, he will bring. So I don't know how this has to do with my work and how it's going to bring it to pass. Leave it to him. In fact, it almost has to be unexpected because he wants you to understand it's God who did it. So then we came to last week. You know, we become nervous, we're impatient, we're doubtful while we wait on the Lord. And most times it's either we haven't rolled the work over on him, we really don't trust the character of God, or we don't believe or trust the power of God. Let me give you a couple statements from last week. We cannot overcome the limitations of the flesh with the flesh. Jesus lived as a spirit-filled man. We are to live as spirit-filled Christians. Jesus had to surrender to the Father. We talked about that. He said, I can... of mine own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which has sent me. Jesus said that. He had laid aside much of his right as deity. Now, he was all deity. It's kind of like Brother Nathan was teaching in Sunday school. He was talking about Calvinism. We think because God is sovereign that he's going to control everything. Well, he does control everything, but he has the right to give us free will. And he did, because he's the sovereign. He's the one that has that right to give it to us. He's the one that says, here I am, I choose you. Would you choose me back? It's just the same thing. God says, I'm going to show you what it's like to live as a spirit-filled person, a spirit-filled Christian. He's not asking us to do anything that he didn't do. Will we be as good at it? I'm sure we're not. But we can do all things through Christ. Without him, we can do nothing. So as a spirit-filled, spirit-led mortals, we can have the power of God flowing through us as we accomplish what God has given us to do. Real quick, number one in our verse here, John 15:1. He says, I am the true vine and my Father is the husbandman. We have been created for God's purpose. We haven't been brought forth for our purpose. The branch does not go off in control, but is pruned, it's limited, it's according to the will and desire of the husband. We did this last week, so I don't want to spend a lot of time on it. But we're the branch. The job of the branch, verse 2, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. He cleans us. What's the goal? To bring forth fruit. And if you brought forth some fruit, he wants you to bring forth some more fruit. So God is molding us to be a fruitful branch. Verse 3, now we are clean, watch, through the word which I have spoken unto you. The washing, the water of the word, Ephesians says. That's what we want. Listen, so many people want to, they say, well, I want to figure out, I don't have time to go to church, we're trying to figure out what God wants me to do. They wouldn't say it like that most times. But that's in practicality, that's, well, as soon as I get this all straightened out, I'll be back to church. How are we washed? How are we straightened out? By the word of God. You say, well, you just think you know it all. No, I don't. The Lord knows it all. And I've sat on the other side of the pulpit. And sometimes the preacher didn't preach what I needed, but he did go across the verse. And it was what I needed that day. Or it might have been a song that was sung. Or it would have might have been one of those little rabbit trails the preacher did, and that was the one that was for me. I don't know what it is, but by the foolishness of preaching, he does the work in the heart. And it's the word of God that cleans us. It cleans us. Look at verse 4 now. He says, abide in me. Abide in me and I in you. That word abide means to stay with me, continue with, dwell. Hey, endure the purging. You're not going to like what's going on here sometimes, but just hang tight with me. I mean, there's times when, you know, I preach a sermon, it's not necessarily fun to hear. Keep coming, keep humping. Listen, sometimes God has to, well, you hurt my feelings. I didn't mean to hurt your feelings, but I at least didn't clip off a finger. But the husband clips off this branch a little bit and trims this branch a little bit. Sure, it hurts. So you kind of gnarled me up there a little bit. The purpose is for you to bring forth more fruit. If the husband didn't care about the product, if you will, he just let him go wild. And it wouldn't do what God had called them to do, to bring forth fruit. So he says, abide in me and I in you as the branch. Look, cannot bear fruit of itself. Well, I'm not doing too bad. Then you're probably, if you're not abiding in him, you're bearing the wrong kind of fruit. He says you cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine. No more can ye except ye abide in me. So when God purges us, don't go running off. When God says something to us we just don't like, that hurts our feelings, or, you know, somehow bristles our hair. You know, they told old Billy Sunday, came to him years ago. Of course, he used to preach about against alcohol. Now he'd be preaching against drugs, I'm sure. But he'd preach against alcohol, and he just let her rip, you know. And he told old Billy Sunday one day, he said, listen, so we appreciate what you're saying, but you're rubbing the cat the wrong way. He said, we'll turn the cat around. If what you're seeing is from the Word of God and is rubbing you the wrong way, then what we need to do is turn around, repent. And you'd be surprised, it feels real good because you know it's truth. Verse 5. Jesus is the source of all life and power. I am the vine, verse 5. Ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, that stays with me, continues with me, is present with me, remains with me, tarries with me. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and the men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. Now, he's not talking about us losing our salvation. What he's saying is we're worthless as far as bringing forth the fruit, fulfilling the purpose that God has called us to fulfill. If we run off when the purging comes, we will also be running away from the power to do what God has called us to do. He talked about the purging. And they talked about if you don't abide him, you can't do anything. So if we run away from the vine, we're stuck. We're right back where we started. In fact, we're probably worse off than we were. We said we committed our work to the Lord and we have committed our way unto the Lord, but we're not staying with the Lord. Let me say that again. We commit our work to the Lord, so he establishes our thoughts. We take those thoughts and says, we find out what the way is. We commit that way to the Lord. He brings it to pass. But if we don't stay with the Lord, we're not going to produce the final product that he's asked us to produce. Let me give you some new things here this evening. The Spirit gives us the power to do the will of God. The Spirit gives us the power to do the will of God. He doesn't give us the power to do the will of us. He gives us the power to do the will of God. Look at verse 7. If ye abide in me, if you stay with me, if you continue with me, if you dwell with me, if you remain with me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done. It shall be caused to be unto you. But wait a minute. You say, well, I'm abiding in him. Yeah, but are his words abiding in you? Well, I'm staying close. Yeah, I'm trying to stay close to him. That's fine. But are you letting him live through you? You see, that's where the submission is. See, we'll go and say, I like being around this, I like being around that, and I want to get all the goody out of this. Yeah, but you're not going to get the goody out of it if you don't let the goody come into you. But that means you need to open up the valve, let the life-giving juices of His Holy Spirit come through you and live through you. That means if this is what He says to do, this is what I do. If this is what He wants, that's what I want. To allow him to have control. The branch does not decide what kind of fruit it's going to produce. The root decides the fruit. The branch is the conduit. We've built a couple houses and planted a lot of trees here and there and yon. And every once in a while, we'll get one grafted. It has one kind of root and they put something on top of it there. And they're letting that juice go through that. Even it wasn't, that wasn't the original, but that those juices are now affecting those limbs that we've grafted in there. There's some trees you can buy that has three different kinds of apples on the same tree. Or two or three different color blossoms. Do you ever see those dogwoods that has a pink and a red and a white and it's all one root? It's all grafted together. He says, listen, if my words, that's the life, are flowing through you, you abide with me, you're going to become like me. You see, the root flows the juices and takes control of the branch. And so now the branch is going to produce what the root is sending through it. He says, you're the branch. He says, if my words abide in you, if my words stay with you, if you take it and hang on to it and digest it and make it part of who you are, he says, you'll be able to ask what you will and I'll give it to you. Why? Because your will has been lost in his will. The song tonight, I'll trade sunshine for rain, comfort for pain. That's what I'd be willing to do. Whatever it takes for my will to break. That's what I'll be willing to do. My will has to break. You see, we say, well, I'm not going to have any fun if I have his will. Unless I have his will. Perfect submission, all is at rest. I and my Savior am happy and blessed. Watching and waiting, looking above, filled with his Spirit, lost in his love. Lost in the life-giving juice of the Spirit. If we stay close to the Lord, and if we allow the Word of God to purge off all our old ways and our old thoughts, and allow the husband, God, to shape us into the branch that God can produce more fruit, our thoughts will have been established, and our purpose will be the same as the husbandman. And thus, our will is not the same as the will of the Father, but we will ask what we need to accomplish. I'm sorry, our will hasn't been the same as the Father, but it will be the same as the Father. And we will ask what we need to accomplish and the purpose of the Father, and certainly the Father will do it. Commit thy way in the Lord and trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. The purpose of the branch is to bring forth fruit. Listen, God doesn't give his power willy-nilly. There are many people who want the power of God in their lives to do as they please. It doesn't work that way. Some of them are looking for a thrill. Some of them are looking for a chill. Some of them are looking for notoriety. Some are looking for profit, like Simon of Samaria in Acts 8. He said he saw somebody, he laid their hands on, they received the Holy Spirit. Oh, I'll pay you for that. I want to be able to do that. Here. He says, listen, you should keep your money. God gives us his power to accomplish his will. God does not empower us to do our will unless our will has been lost in his will. God's will is for us to bring forth fruit and for this fruit to remain. Now, give me another statement. God is not willing that any should perish. And so God wants the whole world to see him. Now look at this passage. Let me go back here again. Let's start with verse 4. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except ye abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches, and he that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, as withered, and men gather them, and cast them into fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. It said, here, this is where we glorify God. We talked about this morning. This is where they see God for who he is in us when we're bearing the fruit. Now, we haven't talked about what the fruit is yet. When we're bearing the fruit, this is where he is glorified. So God, listen, he's not willing that any should perish, and if he be lifted up, he'll draw all men unto him, right? So listen, so God wants a whole world to see him. So how does he see him? By the fruit that we bear. By their fruit ye shall know them. Listen, you go by, you go down to Stauffer's or someplace and buy a fruit tree. You know, you don't see any fruit, you wonder if you got a good one. But you get one that's not real pretty, but it's toward the end of the year, and there's some fruit hanging on that thing. They say, oh, look what kind of fruit. I know what I got there. This thing actually bears fruit. I'm going to take this one. Tells us what we are by what we bear, by the fruit that we bear. Listen, he says, we will be seen, God will be seen for who he really is in this way. When we know we've learned something from Jesus, when we know, we'll know that we've learned something from Jesus, when we're bearing the fruit and we are his disciples, his learners. If you are trying to live for you and not for the purpose of the husbandman, you have not learned what it means to be a disciple, much less are you his disciple. A true disciple, a learner, is one that does as the teacher has taught. Let me get another statement here. The relationship that we desire to have with God comes as we surrender to the will of the Father to bring forth much fruit. Now, you can't be an apple tree and say, I really want to be a pear tree. It's kind of silly, isn't it? Because you don't get pears off of an apple tree. You don't get cherries off of a pear tree. Jesus says you don't get briars off of a good fruit tree, but you don't get good fruit off of briars. Well, unless you like raspberries. He says, listen, surrender to my will. Look what it says in verse 9. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue in my love. Now, you know what that word continue is? The same word as abide in me. It's the same word. He says, I want you to stay in my love. I want you to give place to my love. I want you to dwell in my love. I want you to endure in my love. And when things are all going the way you think it's supposed to be, you dwell in my love. You stay in me. You let my love flow through you. Now, how do you continue to abide in his love? How do you continue his love? Well, look what it says in verse 10. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love. Even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. You've heard me say this, and it's so true. The Christian life is just not that difficult. The problem is we're not willing to live it. Well, what's so difficult? Just do what he said. You know, we get all over our kids, our children, because they don't obey all the rules, and we don't obey our Father's rules. Don't yell in the house! We tell our kids, don't yell in the house. As we're yelling to tell them, don't yell in the house. Be nice. Sit down, shut up, be nice. Yeah, isn't that silly? Yeah, it's silly. We expect God to bless this, but we're not letting his love flow through us. Well, how do you know if his love is flowing through? Are you keeping his commandments? This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that's written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, then thou shalt have good success. The law was not thrown out. He did not come to destroy the law, but to fulfill the law. How? By giving the life-giving flow of his love through us, as we turn that faucet on, we get saved, the Holy Spirit comes in. He's starting to work through us, and the Word comes in, and he's teaching us. And we yield to his teaching. We yield to his thoughts. We take our own pride. We put it down so that he stops resisting us, and his grace now is flowing through us because we now have humbled ourselves before. We've surrendered ourselves, said, here I am, flow through me. Well, they're going to think you're crazy. Doesn't matter, because all I want is him to flow through me. Well, if you do that, that doesn't make sense. How's that going to work? I don't know. It's not my fault. It's not my business how it's going to work. It's his business how it's supposed to work. I'm just supposed to be the branch and do what he's told me to do. Well, everything just always works out for you. That's why you can do that. No, I do that because he makes it work out. You fight the life-giving flow, the branch is going to die. Now, I'm not saying you're going to lose your salvation. I'm saying life is going to seem as dead as if you were never saved. You could be saved and headed to heaven. You're saved. God's got your place in heaven. But we can be a worthless branch while we're here. Verse 9, as the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue, abide. Stay hooked up to my love. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love. What would Jesus say? All the law and the prophets on these two law, love the Lord thy God with all heart, mind, soul, strength, and others as thyself. For in these two law hang all the law and the prophets. You stay close to him, let him stay in you. And the people in the world around will see who you are. We got to be careful. Sometimes, you know, we're so worried about getting a notch in our belt to get somebody saved. And I'm all for soul winning. Listen, but the fact is, we probably get a whole lot. Listen, you catch a whole lot more flies with sugar than you do vinegar. Let them see Christ in you. Let them see a difference in you. Sometimes I think we actually ruin our own testimony by our own lives. So you abide in his love by keeping his commandments. That's how Jesus did it. He said, I have kept my Father's commandments. What do we do to experience God's presence and guidance? We trust and obey. Trust in the Lord and do good. The things that Jesus tells us to do. We think we're supposed to be doing some great thing. We are to obey the Lord, and that's a pretty great thing. And the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Delight thyself all the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. You make it him important in your life. You let him be important. And the fact is, you'll be thrilled to death to see what God does. You'll get excited. My guess is there's people who sit in this pew and say, in the pews here, and say, I wonder why they get all excited because a couple of kids got saved. They'd probably get saved. They'll probably mess up again. They'll probably come into church and make some noise in the church. Because you don't see as God sees it. God sees a soul. Watch this. He says, you'll bring forth fruit when you abide in me. You abide in me as you keep my commandments. He says, you're purged through the word of God. He makes us what we need to be. We stay in the Word of God. Even if just, well, that's so simple. Well, then what's the problem? Now, this is when joy shows up. See, we're looking for joy. Don't look for joy. Look for Jesus. Look at verse 11. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. You know the word remain? It's the word abide again. It's all there again. It said, abide in me and I in you. Continue. Abide in my love by continuing to keep his commandments. And he says, these things have I spoken to you that we can make your life difficult. These things have I spoken to you because I have the right to push you around. No. These things have I spoken to you that my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full. There's no better or no greater joy than the joy that comes from abiding in Jesus. Well, how do you abide in Jesus? No! Get in his book. Read his book and let his book get in you. It's not that difficult. Well, I'm not sure I like this part. Then you're not abiding in him. Lose your will in him. Are you telling me that he's not going to be good to you? Are you telling me that he doesn't love you? Are you telling me he's going to try to pull the wool over your eyes and trick you? And then pull the rug out from underneath of you? Watch this. He says he wants his joy in you, and that joy might be full. And watch this. We'll have a friendship with Jesus. Look at verse 12. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. So friendship with Jesus comes when we continue in his word. And thus we're doing his commandments. But why did he give us those commandments? So that our joy may be full. We miss out on the relationship. Now watch me. I mentioned this last time. God is love. There is no other love that's greater than the love of God. If you want to see God, as I talked about this morning, if you want to see God, you're going to have to see his love. This is his commandment, that ye love one another. Watch what he says, you'll abide in me if you keep my commandments. And now he's saying, this is my commandment. Love. You know what we think? This is my commandment. I got to straighten everybody else out. I got to point out all their problems so they become more like me. Or Christ, really. You know. Now, how are they going to become like Christ? As they abide in him. Not as they abide in me. Not as they abide in you. As they abide in him. So what we need to do is get them to come to him. Well, what's going to make them come to him? When they see him. And how do they see him? In the love. In the caring. In giving of truth. In not being offended. Keeping our hands clean. Draw nigh to God and he'll draw nigh to you. So he says, cleanse thy hands, ye sinners, and purify thy hearts, ye double-minded. He says, I want them to see me. I want the power of God on my life. Then just do what he asks you to do. And that's the love. Doesn't mean to agree. Doesn't mean necessary to go off and do something because you don't want to make somebody's feelings feel bad. But to care for them. To love them. And he says, you know what? You'll be my friend. What is the will of God that is going to give us the power, that he's going to give us the power for? What is that will? Look at verse 15. Henceforth I call you not servants, for a servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I've called you friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit. And that your fruit should remain. And it's the word abide. The fruit's going to hang tight. That whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he would sign his name to it. He may give it you. These things I command you, that ye love one another. You say, well, why is he jumping back and forth? Because he's not jumping back and forth. Excuse me, not jumping back and forth. He's commanding us to love. If love is not coming through you, the power of God's not coming through you. That means you're not abiding in him and he in you. You can't expect your joy to be full. You can't expect to ask as you will and have him do it. Because we are just the branches. The branch is not supposed to be controlling the fruit, controlling the situation. We're a conduit that Christ lives through. So he says, bring forth fruit. Now, I'll be honest with you. I'm a good independent fundamental Baptist preacher. Well, I don't know how good a preacher is, but I'm a good independent Baptist here. And I've heard that, you know, here's what we need to do. The fruit of a Christian, the fruit of an apple tree is another apple, so the fruit of a Christian tree is another Christian. And I think that in the long run, that's true. But I think he's expecting us to bring a certain kind of fruit first. I think it's the fruit of the Spirit. I really do. Because love has been so intertwined in keeping his commandments. Keeping his commandments. Now, I know we're supposed to go out and lead folks to Christ. And if you have any love for somebody, you're going to give them the gospel. So that's true. But if you're not careful, we can be pretty mean about giving out the gospel. We can get pretty demanding when we give out the gospel. We can get very selfish and self-willed when we give out the gospel. Listen, giving out the gospel, saying it doesn't matter to me, it doesn't matter if they see anything of me, as long as they see Jesus and come to Savior. We need a point where they're saying, I want what that person has. So that's not my personality. He's not talking about personality. He's talking about the power of God in your life. How's the power of God? Seen through the love of God. Galatians 5:22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, not weakness, meekness, temperance, self-control. It shouldn't be something that just kind of flares up from time to time. It should be fruit that remains. It's who you are. Not putting on a show. Now, are we going to be perfect? No. But in fact, we got to be careful. We're not inspecting everybody else's fruit. Judge ourselves, we won't be judged. I think we're supposed to, he said, herein is my Father glorified, that you bring much fruit. We see who God is by the fruit that we produce. I think we're going to bring forth fruit of the Spirit. I think we will bring forth new babes in Christ. And I think we'll produce things that further the work of God. He's the vine, we're the branches. We abide in him, and his words abide in us. We stay close to him and let his words keep coming into us. And we'll bring forth fruit. How do we abide in him? By keeping his commandments. What is his commandment? To love. To love. Many Christians spend their lives searching for the will of God for their lives. They want something for themselves. The will of God is for us to abide with Christ. Surrender to the purpose of the husbandman, and that is to be a branch that brings forth fruit that remains. Well, that's not much of a life. Listen. You let God do that in your heart and your life. You don't know where he may send you, what he may have you do, what great thing may be in store for you. But if you're not bringing forth fruit, he's not going to plant you in the front yard. We get so consumed with some little detail or day-to-day items or some other thing that we may not really understand. And what looks like a loss to many of us may actually be the root to victory as he purges us. What seems to hurt us may be the purging of the husband to make us more fruitful. Back to our verse in Psalm 37, trust in the Lord and do good. Verse 23 says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down. For the Lord upholdeth him with his hand, and I've been young, and I now am old, and I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Trust in the Lord and do good, and he says, and so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also, Lord, and he shall give you the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord, and trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Well, how's that? He says, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. It goes back there in Psalm. It says, and ye shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because a man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger. Forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. What are we supposed to do? Do right. Don't worry about that mess. That's exactly what the old devil wants to do, to get you off from doing his commandment, because if we get off from doing his commandment, we're no longer abiding in him. If we don't abide in him, we can do nothing. We're so worried about doing something, what we should be doing is abiding in him and let him do it. But how can I do what I should do when they are all not doing what they should do? How many times do you do that? I can't do what I'm doing because they're not doing what you mean you can't love? Why? Because, listen, all he's asked you to do is let his love flow through you. Let them see Christ in you. I can't tell you how. Listen, ladies, listen, I've seen so many ladies come through here and say, well, I can't do what I'm supposed to do because my husband is doing this and doing this. Well, love him. Well, I don't even like him. I didn't ask if you liked him. Love him. God commendeth his love toward us, and while we were yet sinners, he died for us. So I can't do that. Abide in his word, and his word abide in you. And the love will flow through. Just abide in him. Without him, I can do nothing. But I can do all things through Christ who has strengthened me. Stay close to the Lord. What's that mean? In his word, and away from sin, and pray and surrender to him. Lord, just tell me what you want to do. And if he doesn't move, then he'll move. Stay in God's word. Esteem all his precepts concerning all things to be right. Hate every false way. Lose your will in his. Glorify the Father in God is love. 1 John 3:14, we know that we've passed from death into life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. So give yourself to his purpose to glorify the Father, and you will bring forth fruit that remains. And God will give you the power to glorify the Father as you abide in him so they can see him as he is. Father, again, we thank you for your word. Thank you for speaking to us here this evening. Lord, we need you. But Lord, most of all, what we need to do is surrender. How many times we've said the victory is not in the fight, it's in the surrender to you. May we surrender to you. Let your word flow through us and let us lose our will in yours. And we will glorify the Father. Heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. Let's stand to our feet.